Welcome to our monthly broadcast of the Prayers of the Rosary. I'm Nick Ragusano, Chancellor and Communications Director for the Amador County Council 1849 Knights of Columbus. Usually at this time, we would have the actual prayers recited. However, this evening we have a special guest, Deacon Jaime Garcia of St. Catherine Drexel Parish in Martel, California. We will be discussing the history of the Rosary from its earliest days to the present. Welcome, Deacon Jaime, to the program.
Thank you for inviting me to be here this evening.
As you are aware, and since you led the very first broadcast of this program, the first Tuesdays of the month have been very special to our council. However, most Catholics know the Rosary and pray it often, but very few really know or understand its history. The word itself means crown of roses. How did it get that title?
Well, Nick, in pre-Christian times, pagans used to crown their statues with roses to symbolize the rendering of their hearts to their gods. With the coming of Christianity, the fusing of their love for false gods with their hatred for the early Christians led to the Roman persecutions. During these persecutions, Christian virgins, dressed in their best and crowned with roses, went to their martyrdom in the sandy arena of the Colosseum. Their brethren in the faith later collected these crowns of roses and prayed before them, saying one prayer per rose.
It is my understanding that prayer beads and prayer shawls have been around for most of religious history. Would you please tell us about their origins and use?
First of all, some background. The essential purpose of praying and meditating with beads is to enable the mind and heart to integrate. Let us see how the various religious traditions help in mind the mind to focus. They are like a runway for an airplane. Every airplane must have a runway before it can fly. What the runway is to the airplane, the beads are to prayer. The physical start to gain spiritual altitude. The prayer beads are a means of arriving at the goal of the prayer. We're going to start first with Hinduism. It is widely practiced in South Asia. It has been called the oldest religion in the world. It has been regarded as a synthesis of various Indian cultures and traditions, with diverse roots and no single founder. It is the world's third largest religion, numbering about 15% of the global population. The eternal duties prescribed by Hinduism are honesty, refraining from injury in living beings, patience, forbearance, self-restraint, and compassion, among others. The use of beads for prayer or chanted meditation is called japa in the Sanskrit language. The practice of japa has existed for thousands of years in Indian culture and teachings. Many ancient temples have carvings of saints, revered teachers, and devas, heavenly beings, holding sacred beads in their hands or draped over their chests. The sacred book of India speaks of japa, or chanting and praying on beads. This includes the popular Bhagavad Gita, Song of God, which is often referred to as the Bible of India, due to the reverence with which it is held in the world's third most popular scripture after the Bible and the Quran. So we talked about Buddhism, Hinduism, now we're going to talk about Buddhism. Buddhism originated in ancient India sometime between the 6th and 4th centuries, when it was spread throughout much of Asia before declining in India during the Middle Ages due to the Muslim conquest of the Indian subcontinent. Today it is internationally the world's fourth largest religion. It is a religion attributed to the teachings of Siddhartha Gautama, the Buddha, an ascetic and sage who taught the middle way between sensual indulgence and the severe ascetic movement common in his region of eastern India. Buddhism was well grounded in prayer beads. On one occasion, the Buddha gave a distraught king, Vaidunya, a spiritual practice based on his Hindu heritage. He directed Vaidunya to thread 108 seeds of the Bodhi tree on a string, and while passing through his fingers to repeat, "Hail to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha." Buddhists take refuge in the three jewels, also known as the three refuges. The Buddha, the fully enlightened one, the Dharma, the teachings expounded by Buddha, and the Sangha, the monastic orders of Buddhism that practices the Dharma. I could go on and on about Buddhism. It's a great study. Buddhist beads are known as malas, or mala for singular, used to recite a mantra. A mantra is a series of sacred symbols that are associated with different manifestations of an enlightened mind. When the practitioner focuses on the sounds of the mantra, she is attuning herself to that energy of mind and heart. And then finally, we're going to talk a little bit about Muslim prayer with beads. The five pillars of Islam are religious duties that provide a framework for Muslim life. These duties are performed regularly and encompass duties to God, to personal spiritual growth, to care for the poor, to self-discipline, and to sacrifice. At the time of the Prophet Muhammad, Muslims did not use prayer beads as a tool during personal prayer, but they may have used date pits or small pebbles. Eventually, however, the use of beads to count expressions of praise and glory came to be acceptable practice within mainstream Islam. Muslims use strings of 33 or 99 beads representing the 99 names of Allah found in the Quran. After each of the five daily times of ritual prayer in Islam, based on a strong recommendation from Prophet Muhammad and followed by almost all branches of Islam, one is also encouraged to recite repetitive utterances of short sentences in the praise and glorification of Allah. I could go on and on about all three of these religions, but you can see how the use of beads in the three major religions after Christianity, Buddhism, Hinduism, and Islam, beads are important tools for praying.
I imagine the early church used it much in the same way as other prayer rituals. But we don't see a mention of the rosary in the earliest writings of the church. When do we see the earliest mentions of the earliest mentioning of the prayers of the rosary?
Well, Nick, the exact origin of the rosary is less than clear and subject to debate among scholars. The use of knotted prayer robes in Christianity goes back to the Desert Fathers in the 3rd and early 4th centuries. These counting devices were used for prayers such as the Jesus Prayer in Christian monasticism. The period after the First Council of Ephesus in 432 witnessed gradual growth in the use of Marian prayers during the Middle Ages. 1597 marks a year for the first recorded use of the term rosary to refer to prayer beads.
Was it always 10 beads separated by other prayers?
In the 15th century, the Carthusian monk Henry of Calher organized 150 Hail Marys into sets of 10, known as decades, separated by a single larger bead for the Our Father at the beginning of each decade. By the end of the 15th century, the basic structure of the rosary was in place. The Glory Be prayer was used as a common doxology from the earliest times when praying the Psalms was added at the end of each decade of the beads. The Glory Be itself is a short prayer of praise to the Holy Trinity, whose origin traces back to Paul's epistles and other New Testament books.
I've seen traditional nuns' habits with large rosary beads as part of the habit. But I've seen more than 5 sets of 10 beads. A nun at one time explained to me that they use 15 sets of 10 beads. Why was that?
In the 16th century, the 5 sets of joyful, sorrowful, and glorious mysteries from the life of Christ were added to give those praying material for contemplation to keep Christ as a central focus of their devotion. More beads were needed, 150, to cover all 3 sets of mysteries, the joyful, the sorrowful, and the glorious mysteries.
When we return, we will be discussing the development of the rosary as we use it presently and the histories associated with the prayers from about the 15th century to the early 20th century.
KVGC is teaming up with Amador Transit in asking all county residents to join National Dump the Gas Pump Week. Starting Monday, June 13th through Friday, the 17th, just say, "I'm dumping the gas pump for Amador Transit," to any bus driver, and you will ride for free. With gas prices hitting the $6 a gallon mark here in town, it's time to dump the pump and start saving your cash. For more information, call 209-267-9395 or visit amadortransit.com. Again, starting Monday, June 13th through Friday the 17th, just say, "I'm dumping the gas pump for Amador Transit," to any bus driver, and you will ride for free.
Welcome back to our special broadcast of the history of the prayers of the Rosary. My guest this evening is Deacon Jaime Garcia. Deacon Jaime, we've heard how the Rosary came to be in the early church. However, there is a great deal of time between the first few centuries and the 20th century. Much has to have happened with the Rosary. What are some of those key developments?
This could be a long part, but I'm going to be short. At the First Council of Ephesus in 431, the title Theotokos and the veneration of Mary as the Mother of God were established, and a period of growth for Marian prayer started. The practice of meditation during the praying of the Hail Marys is attributed to Dominic the Prussian, 1382 to 1460, his lifetime, a Carthusian monk who called it Life of Jesus Rosary. Rosary confraternities were formed in Cologne in 1475, Venice and Florence in 1480 and 1481. In the 16th century, rosary confraternities for women spread in France and Italy. The Christian victory over the Turks in 1571 at the Battle of Lepanto was attributed to the praying of the rosary by masses of Europeans based on the request of Pope Pius V, and eventually resulted in the title Our Lady of the Rosary. That same pope added the second part of the Hail Mary, the Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. The rosary remained in this form for 4 centuries, a key role in promoting it from the 1100s to 1569, when Pope Pius V officially approved the devotion. According to St. Dominic, 1170 to 1221, and his followers in the Dominican order. There are many other instances when the rosary was being prayed in the face of world crises and devastation. Opening the Marian year in 1987, the rosary was a global prayer for peace offered by large groups at Marian shrines throughout the world. And finally, in 2002, Pope John Paul II introduced the Mysteries of Light, the Luminous Mysteries.
When we pray the Rosary, we are told to meditate on those various mysteries. Please explain what these are and how they fit into the rosary as a whole.
When Pope John Paul II introduced the mysteries of light, the luminous mysteries, he wrote, "I believe that to bring out the Christological depth of the rosary, it would be suitable to make an addition to the traditional pattern which left to the freedom of individuals and communities could broaden it to include the mysteries of Christ's public ministry between his baptism and his passion. In the course of these mysteries, we contemplate important aspects of the person of Christ as the definitive revelation of God, declared the beloved Son of the Father at the baptism in the Jordan. Christ is the one who announces the coming of the kingdom, bears witness to it in his works, and proclaims its demands. It is during the years of his public ministry that the mystery of Christ is most evidently a mystery of light. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." From the Gospel of John. Consequently, for the rosary to become more fully a compendium of the gospel, it is fitting to add, following reflection on the incarnation and the hidden life of Christ, the joyful mysteries, and before focusing on the sufferings of his passion, the sorrowful mysteries, and the triumph of his resurrection, the glorious mysteries, a meditation on certain particularly significant moments in his public ministry, the mysteries of light. This addition of these new mysteries, without prejudice to any essential aspect of the prayer's traditional format, is meant to give fresh life and to enkindle renewed interest in the rosary's place within Christian spirituality as a true doorway to the depth of the heart of Christ, ocean of joy and light, of suffering and of glory.
You've talked about the historical use of prayer beads in religious traditions dating back several thousand years. However, many of our Christian neighbors do not understand or accept the idea of repetitious recitation of prayers, often citing early New Testament writings warning of sounding like Paul's clanging cymbal in his letter to the Corinthians. Yet we are taught that the rosary goes beyond the babbling of sounds. How does the Church explain such obvious discrepancies?
So the way to answer that question is, if the prayers are going to be recited mechanically, just to recite them without any reflection, then there isn't really much use for them. But maybe I can use an image that will help us understand it a little bit better. The words on the rosary are like the banks of a river, and the prayer is the river itself. The banks are necessary to give direction to keep the river flowing, but it is the river with which we are concerned. So in prayer, it is the inclination of the heart to God which alone matters. The words are the framework in which the prayer is held. The words are not the prayer. The prayer lies always beyond the words. As the river moves into the sea, the banks drop away. And so too, as we move into a deeper sense of God's presence, the words fall away and we shall be left in silence in the ocean of God's love. One thing is clear. Although the repeated Hail Mary is addressed directly to Mary, and we always say many, many more Hail Marys than any of the other prayers, it is to Jesus that the act of love is ultimately directed, with and through her. The repetition is nourished by the desire to be conformed ever more completely to Christ, the true program of the Christian life. St. Paul expressed this project with words of fire, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And again, "It is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me." The rosary helps us to be conformed ever more closely to Christ until we attain true holiness.
Christianity faced Many trying times in the period between the end of the Holy Roman Empire through the Protestant upheavals and the Reformation. For the faithful, this had to be disconcerting. Yet, the church did survive and grow. The prayers of the Rosary must have been a counterpoint or centerpiece during these trials of faith.
From battle victories attributed to the recitation of the Rosary to world crises and disasters, the Rosary has been there to uphold and believe that our faith does not flinch. All for Jesus through Mary works. The Rosary does that every time we pray it. So there have been many ups and downs in our history as a world, but prayers like the Rosary bring us together as a human family.
Very few of our Christian friends have such devotion to Mary, the mother of Jesus. Yet the Catholic Church and a few of its closest denominations recognize the importance she plays in church history. Even our Muslim friends devote an entire section of the Quran to the story of Mary and Jesus. The repetition of prayer, Hail Mary, certainly shows how important she is to our lives.
Mary's role in the mystery of Christ is not a rosary invention. Rather, it is a vital part of the gospel that is simply reflected in the rosary. The sense of the faithful that the rosary is a prayer of confidence in Mary's love and intercession for us is rooted in the good news of the gospel. The gospel passages from which the Hail Mary prayer is composed reveal her as a dynamic, grace-filled woman to whom God offered a pivotal an active role in the drama of salvation. She gave her active consent to the event of the ages, as the incarnation of the Word has been called. From the moment Mary began carrying Jesus in her womb, to his birth, childhood, and upbringing, to his first miracle at Cana and through the cross, she, as his mother, constantly and most ardently contemplated the mystery of her son. If we are to become evangelized disciples of Jesus, to do our best to meet him face to face, she's a great model for us as she lived with her eyes fixed on Christ, treasuring all the moments of his life and pondering them in her heart. With her yes to the angel Gabriel and ultimately to God at the Annunciation, Mary becomes the first person to accept Jesus Christ into her life and heart, and even into her own body. As for us, the quiet rhythm and lingering pace of the Rosary fosters meditation on Jesus' life. That's the primary way she is meant to be seen, as one who points to Christ. As she says to the servers at the wedding in Cana, when they had run out of wine, "Do whatever he tells you." I love that.
We're going to take a quick break, and when we return, we'll explore the Rosary within the miracle of Fatima and Lourdes, and we'll also see how the devotion to the prayers of the Rosary relate to the modern church.
Hi, I'm Tessa Haney, and my dad, Dale Haney, owns Homestead Mortgage in Jackson. His phone number is 223-2100. I don't really know what he does there, but he sure does work a lot. He always tells me that it takes time to do things right and make his clients happy. Often when we're at different places, people come up to my dad and say, "Thank you for doing a good job for us." When I ask who that was, Dad always says they're his friends. I know they're his clients. I'm proud of my dad because he cares about what he does. Call him at Homestead Mortgage at 223-2100.
Homestead Mortgage, an equal opportunity lender, licensed by the Department of Business Oversight under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. MLO number 278972, NMLS number 1071. Voted best in Amador County 14 years in a row. Visit Homestead Mortgage on Main Street in downtown Jackson.
Welcome back to our special broadcast on the history of the prayers of the Rosary. My guest this evening is Deacon Jaime Garcia. During World War I, in the little community of Fatima, Portugal, three children became the center of wonder and controversy. Most Catholics know of this. However, many do not understand the importance of this series of events and their impact on the world in general. Would you please tell us a little more about this?
In 1917, less than 3 years after the death of St. Pius X, Our Lady appeared to three shepherd children, Lucia, Francisco, and Jacinta, aged 10, 9, and 7 respectively, at Cova da Iria, Fatima, Portugal, in a series of 6 apparitions that began May 13th and ended October 13th. The authenticity of these apparitions was confirmed by the miracle of the sun, witnessed by about 70,000 spectators during the final apparition. If you have the good fortune of being in Fatima, you sense that presence and the wonderful miracle that happened on that last apparition. At Fatima, Our Lady gave the three children the mission of telling the world that she was profoundly displeased with the impiety and corruption of people. She warned that if mankind did not amend its ways, a terrible chastisement would come, several nations would be annihilated, Russia would spread its errors throughout the world, and the Holy Father would have much to suffer.
Many Catholics today, especially those younger than 50, don't remember the little addendum at the end of Masses, prayed as a direct result of the miracle of Fatima. What was that prayer and how was it connected to Fatima?
It was after giving the warning of the chastisement and the ways to avoid it that Our Lady taught us the prayer to be recited at the end of each mystery of the Rosary. She told Lucia, "When you pray the Rosary, after each decade, say, O my Jesus, forgive us our sins. Save us from the fires of hell. Lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy."
Is it your impression that the Rosary has become more important to us today? If so, why is that true?
Today, together we confirm that the Holy Rosary is not a pious practice banished to the past, like prayer of other times throughout us thought of with nostalgia. Instead, the Rosary is experiencing a new springtime. Without a doubt, this is one of the most eloquent signs of love that the young generation nourished for Jesus and his mother Mary. In the current world, so disruptive, this prayer helps put Christ at the center, as the Virgin did, who meditated within all that was said about her Son, and also what he did and said. These are one of the many tools to assist in prayer, which is often a struggle. Our minds wander, we get bored, we wonder if we are being heard, and we struggle with what to say. Prayer beads can help us to develop a rich life of prayer, deepening our connection with God. Just holding them in our hand is a way of understanding that God is as close to us as the beads are in our hand.
Well, thank you, Deacon Jaime. This has been very interesting and I hope informative to our listeners. Spiritual attitude, altitude. As mentioned last month, this is our final broadcast for the season. We will return in September, as I have already received requests from prior participating groups to continue and be guests again. If your group or even a family wish to participate in these broadcasts of the Prayers of the Rosary, please let us know. You may send a request by going to www.kofc-1849.org. There is a link on the main page. Thank you for listening. If you have comments or suggestions, please email them to webmaster@kofc-1849.org. This has been a production of the Amador County Council, 1849 Knights of Columbus, in conjunction with KVGC Hometown Radio. I would like to thank the staff of KVGC, especially Jim Giddy, CEO. He and his station's gracious cooperation in this endeavor are greatly appreciated. Until September, I'm Nick Ragusano, Communications Director for the Council, wishing you a wonderful summer. Keep praying the Rosary. God bless you, and good evening.